So Elkanah packed up his big family for the trip to Shiloh, as they did every year. What an exciting time it must have been to go on a road trip. Everybody loves road trips, right? Don't get to take many road trips in Hong Kong, but everybody loves a good road trip. So Penaya made sure all of her children had gotten all of their things together. And there's Hannah. She doesn't have any children. And that's how the story of the birth of Samuel begins. And interestingly enough, it's a familiar biblical narrative, a familiar story in the Bible. God seems to like to raise up heroes in a similar kind of way. If you think about Sarah, you think about Rebecca, you think about Rachel, the wife of Manoah, who was Samson's mother, and then later Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. So it's a familiar story in the Bible. But dealing with this year after year had gotten the best of Hannah. On and on it went, year after year. But what an amazing woman she was. Today's Mother's Day, and we're going to take a look at the life of Hannah. But it's not just for ladies. I think, men, you will also see something very much a life that you could follow in the life of Hannah. She was a great woman. She knew her God and she trusted in the Lord. She knew 2 Chronicles 16:9. She knew that the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose hearts are blameless toward Him. So today on Mother's Day, we simply want to take a look at an amazing woman and examine her life, and I pray that it will be encouraging to you. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray. Lord, you know encouragement is not my gift, but your Holy Spirit is able to encourage our hearts this morning. So would you, through your word, do the thing that you do, and speak to hearts and build up your church. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I've been encouraged by her faith. I've been encouraged by Hannah's godliness as I studied about her. It's my hope it'll be a blessing to you as well. So if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel. We'll be in 1 Samuel 1 and 1 Samuel 2. We're not going to examine two different books of the Bible today. But to make it clear and easy for us, and I need to move a little quickly, let me give you the qualities that I see in Hannah right up front. The qualities of Hannah that I see in these pages. Number one, Hannah was a faithful worshiper. You see that in verses 3, 7, 19, and in chapter 2, she was a faithful worshiper of God. Number two, she fervently prayed and fasted. She fervent means heat. She prayed hot prayers for God and fasted before Him. Number three, she had a firm understanding of holiness. A firm understanding of holiness. Number four, she forwarded. She forwarded like you would forward an email or forward a text. She passed on her children, at least we know she did Samuel, to the Lord. She gave her kids to God. And lastly, she was filled with thankfulness. So let's dive right in. If you have your Bible open, Hannah is a faithful worshiper of God. Notice that we see in these pages the phrase in verse 3 and then the phrase down in verse 7. It says, year by year, she was going faithfully to Shiloh to sacrifice and worship the Lord of hosts. So in verse 3 and verse 7, we see this isn't a lady who was hit or miss in her worship to God. Instead, she was faithful in her worship to God. And we'll see that later. We see later the the outcome of a lady who is faithful to worship God. So chapter 2, when you see what she says, that's a woman who knows God. Again and again, we see her going up to worship. And the last thing we see in chapter 2, verse 19, is that she's going up again, year by year, to bring her boy some new clothes that she had made. So here is a woman of faithfulness. Faithfulness to sacrifice time and time again to go with her husband to worship. Make no mistake about it, is a woman worthy of admiration for her faithfulness. We might add that for us, the application for us is that we would never underestimate the power of faithful worship. Never underestimate the power of faithfully attending worship year by year, week by week, Bible study by Bible study, small group after small group. What's the power of faithfulness? What price can you put on someone attending church year after year as a young girl and always doing that? Well, there's no price you can put on that. Because that's someone where it's hearing God over and over and over and over again. Continuing to put yourself in a place to hear from God and to talk to God. That's what Hannah did, and that's what I commend to you this morning, is Hannah is a faithful worshiper of God. We'll see that later on more. So Hannah, number two, she was not only a faithful worshiper of God, but she was also a woman who fervently prayed and fasted. She fervently prayed and fasted. So look in verse 7. In verse 7, it says, "So it went on year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her," Peninnah did. "Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat." The context seems to say that it's not that she didn't just eat that one time, but that year after year, as they went up to worship in Shiloh, that while they feasted and worshiped before the Lord, that she would weep and not eat. And you see that later on when it seems that she's not with them, but she's weeping and fasting. On this occasion in our story, the main occasion, she is distraught. She's been fasting and praying and weeping. Look at verse 10. Chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "She was deeply distressed, and she prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts." By the way, the term Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of the heavenlies, this is the first time it's mentioned in the Bible, is right here in 1 Samuel chapter 1. But she said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." So she continuously prays in her heart. Notice when she goes before Eli the priest that in her heart she's not even making a sound. He just sees her just moving her mouth. Her lips are moving, and Eli the priest thinks that she's drunk. Such was the state of Israel that Eli the priest could not tell when someone was fervently praying, but he thought she was drunk. He couldn't tell the difference between a drunk woman and a fervent prayer. And Hannah says these beautiful words later on, "I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord." What a great phrase. "I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord." So here's a woman for all of our admiration this morning. A faithful worshiper year in and year out. She is a woman who is not afraid to pour out her soul to the Lord in fervent prayer and in fasting and in tears. Hannah's heart was so broken that she would not eat food so that she could pray with God, and that is what fasting is. What is fasting? Fasting is pouring out your soul before the Lord in prayer and skipping food to do that. There is a kind of fasting or skipping the internet or whatever you're skipping so that you can spend time with God. There is a kind of fasting, we might add, that's called starvation. And that's not fasting. This is where you think in some way that you will impress God by not eating. That's not fasting. Fasting is not saying, I'm just going to not eat, and by doing this and suffering, I'm going to impress God and He's going to do something for me. That's called asceticism, not fasting. Fasting is doing without something, here doing without food, so that you can pour your heart out to God in prayer and seek His face. So, do you have any burdens today? Do you have any afflictions that you've been enduring for years? Anything that's keeping you up at night? Anything that's heavy on your heart? Then do like Hannah and pour out your soul to the Lord in prayer and fasting and weeping. Psalm 34 says this, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears toward their cry. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." That Hannah could have written that. I mean, she didn't, but that's exactly her story. So Hannah is a faithful worshiper. She is a woman who pours her heart out to God in fervent prayer and fasting. Number three, Hannah also has a firm understanding of holiness. A firm understanding of holiness. She took God seriously. She took God seriously. To her, the worship of Yahweh was serious and not to be taken lightly. How do we know this? How do we know, or why do I say she took holiness, or she had a firm understanding of holiness? Well, in a few ways. Number one is the theology that you hear from her in chapter 2, which we'll see in just a little bit. But she understands holiness because you notice she made a vow to God and she kept it. In verse 10, she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly, and she vowed a vow, and she said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on my affliction and remember me and not forget your servant, but give me a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life." And what did she do? She kept her promise. She regarded that God said in His Word, don't make a vow. If you make a vow, you got to keep it. So she understood that God is not to be trifled with. He's to be taken seriously. You don't just make rash vows or rash promises and then not keep them. She understood these things. And she kept it. The Nazarite vow is what she says here. This no razor shall touch his head. So you always think of Samson as a Nazarite, you know. Delilah didn't cut his hair and everything like that, you know. Did you know that Samuel didn't have his hair cut? Samuel, the Nazarite vow in Numbers chapter 6, is a serious vow. Do you know what Nazarite means? It means separateness or consecratedness or holiness. So it was a vow that you kept for mostly not an entire lifetime, not cut your hair. You know why they didn't drink wine or eat grapes? Because it was considered a luxury to eat grapes and drink wine. And so you would kind of like have a lifelong fast of keeping away from those nice luxuries of life. And you didn't cut your hair because you didn't, you know, comb it and look all suave, you know, and schwai and everything. But instead, you would just let your hair grow as a way to say, I'm just dedicated to the Lord. I want to be a holy man, like a sadhu in India. Hannah goes above and beyond the expectation of holiness. And she says, if you give me a son, I will give him to you forever. You really think about that? Can you imagine not being, year after year after year, not being able to have a son, and then God gives you a son? Wouldn't you want to kind of be like, oh, well, did I really say that? I mean, I'm kind of thinking, I said that, but I didn't really say it the way it sounded. You know, you kind of turn it and everything. But no, she kept it. She understood holiness, and she gave her son to God. So the vow she made shows that she understood holiness. She was a faithful worshiper. She fervently prayed and fasted. She firmly understands holiness, and she forwarded her kids to the Lord. That's exactly what she did. God heard her cry, gave her a son, and she, instead of holding on to him for dear life, she said, he's the Lord's. He's the Lord's. So look at verse 21 and 22. Verse 21 and 22. Should be up there. So the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice. There it is again. They're continually going year after year to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, as soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. And then verse 28, she said, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. She knew something that we need to be reminded of, that our kids are a gift from God. Our kids are a gift from God, and they're given to us by God. They're not ours. Therefore, we are to simply bring them up in the instruction of the Lord and forward them on to God and to His service. In fact, that's the main purpose of mothers and fathers, of Christian mothers and fathers, is that we are to bring our children up, like Deuteronomy chapter 6, which says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And then we pass our kids on to God. We give them to God. They are His, parents, mothers, your children are God's to do what they want with them. They are for His calling. They're not for what we want them to do. We surrender them to the Lord like Hannah did to serve the Lord. That doesn't mean that we drop them off at the, you know, Tianhua temple or something like that, okay? Don't take it too literally and do exactly what she did. But in your heart, we are to give them to the Lord. My mother did that for me when I was a baby. She didn't expect me to be born. And when I was a little child, my mom knelt down and she said, this one's yours, because I didn't expect him. And so on a day when I came and I told her I was moving to the other side of the world, she said, I already gave you to God. You must go. I appreciate that so much. The number one reason, by the way, people don't go to the mission field is because their parents won't let them. So the best thing you can do, moms, on Mother's Day, or fathers on Mother's Day, is we can offer our kids to the Lord, over to the Lord. We can forward them on to God and His purposes for Him to do what He wants to do with them. So Hannah was a faithful worshiper. She fervently prayed and fasted. She firmly understood holiness. She forwarded her kids to the Lord. And lastly, she is a woman who is filled with thanksgiving. So if you look at chapter 2, at some point, she did wean Samuel, and she loaded him up somehow, walked, carried, I don't know, and she took him to the tabernacle at that point, probably. It's probably just a tent, even though it says it has doors. And he was to serve there forever. And she breaks into, in chapter 2, she breaks into a prayer. Or she breaks into what seems like probably a song. And it's powerful. Hannah's prayer begins the book of 1 Samuel and the end of 2. By the way, 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel are really one book, the books of Samuel. The beginning of 1 Samuel, we have Hannah's prayer. And in the end of 2 Samuel, we have David's prayer. And there are some similarities in them. In fact, Hannah's prayer, if you read the whole book of Samuel, you will see that Hannah's prayer in chapter 2, in verses 6 through 9, sums up all the books of Samuel and Kings and even Chronicles. The Lord raises up and the Lord brings down. Mary's prayer, the Magnificat, in the book of Luke, sounds eerily similar to Hannah's prayer. So look at chapter 2. We'll read this and then we'll close. Hannah's prayer in chapter 2 is very powerful. She says this, "My heart exults." Exult means overwhelmed with praise. "My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed." That's her story. And now she's going to move into generally what God is like. "The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne 7, but she who has no children is forlorn." That's her story. And now she says, "The Lord kills and brings to life. The Lord brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and He exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor." That's what happens all throughout Samuel and Kings and Chronicles. God humbling the proud and God raising up little shepherd boys to be kings. "For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them He has set the world. He will guard the feet of His faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them He will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and He will give strength to His king and exalt the horn of His anointed." So here's a great woman for our admiration. Here's a woman who fervently prayed and fasted, but she also worshiped the Lord. She was faithful in worship. Here's a woman who has a firm grasp of holiness, a woman who forwards her children to the Lord, and at the end we see she exults and praises God for what He has done in her life. And then she's gone from the pages of history. Mothers and sisters in the Lord, fathers and brothers as well, may we all be more like Hannah, living a life of faithful worship, living a life of fervent prayer and fasting. Anything that's burdening us, we should be pouring out our soul to the Lord. We should be like her, and we should have a firm grasp on holiness, to not trifle with the Lord and think that holy things don't, that we wouldn't giggle at what God calls wicked, but would walk in holiness. Parents, that we would forward our children to God so that they can be exactly what God wants them to be. Not what we want them to be. They go to school where God wants them to go. They take the occupation that God wants them to take, not what we want. We would also be people like Hannah, that would be filled with thanksgiving when God answers our prayers, that we would exult. We would celebrate what God has done and cry out like she did. Hannah said these words in her prayer, "There is none holy like the Lord, and there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God." The Bible refers a lot of times to God being a rock. Isn't that strange? Well, you live in the when you wander around the desert and when you have to fight enemies, rocks are really good things. Or if you're fighting a giant, a rock is also a very good thing. The Bible tells that Jesus Christ is the rock. It says Jesus Christ is like a rock. Life is full of storms. When you have a storm, you need a shelter. Life oftentimes seems to be like we're living on shifting sand in our career, our money, our family. Jesus is a rock. There's only one rock, and that is God Himself, Jesus Christ, who is God. So I pray that as moms and dads, in all of the ebb and flow of life, that we might turn there. And if you've never turned to Jesus Christ and said, "Look, my life's falling apart, I need a rock," Jesus is that rock to stand on when you feel like the shifting sand is falling apart underneath you. You may feel like your children, that their lives are falling apart. What are we to do? We are to pour out our soul like Hannah and intercede for them. That may be you today. Let's pray together. Lord, I do pray that even the encouragement today might even be that you would encourage all of us to go and read 1 Samuel, that we might see in our own quiet time, in our own time together, that you are a rock. There is no rock like our God. I thank you, Lord, for our sister, Hannah, who came so many years before us. But nonetheless, we can learn from her example. Thank you, Lord, for a faithful woman of God. I pray that you would raise up, Lord, in our church, continue to raise up more and more a strong ministry of motherhood, strong ministry of older women teaching younger women to stand on the rock of Christ. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would build up the church somehow through this word. We pray in Christ's name.